Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, 14, and 15. This is something that's helped me. I guess I'll preach to myself a whole lot tonight. I'm very guilty of what I'm going to say tonight. But you pray for me that God will help me. And I appreciate these verses. They've been a great help to me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark." Paul said, "I can't speak of another, but I know about me. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Four things quickly in this verse. Very interesting to me that Paul addresses the brethren. This message, these few verses, it's been a help to him and he wants to share it with his brethren. Can I remind you that brethren in the scripture means those that have passed through the same channel of birth. I have a younger brother in Jonesboro, Tennessee, 3 years, 7 months younger than I am, and he and I are brethren because we have passed through the same channel of birth. Being a child of God, you'll only get that way one way, through the drawing of the Holy Ghost and through the blood of Jesus Christ, and through that way we are brethren. And the Bible tells us many things about how we should pray one for another, how we should be there one for another. So quickly, number one, let's look at why he said and why he addressed this to the brethren. The Bible tells us about being saved, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's what Nicodemus was told. That which is born of the flesh, that is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, that is spirit. Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I'm thankful to be one of the brethren tonight, aren't you? The Bible tells us four quick things I want to share with you about the brethren. Number one, Luke 22:32, Peter was told, strengthen the brethren. Be an encouragement to the brethren. Uplift the brethren. There's enough out in the world which we live in today of backbiting and busybody and other men's matters to run someone down. But Paul is encouraging us. And in the scripture, we are encouraged to be a strength to the brethren. You never know. It might be the arm that you put around somebody's neck. It might be the text message you send to somebody that might be exactly what they need to help them through the situation that they're going through. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, we are encouraged to restore the brethren. We are told in Galatians 6, 1, if we see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, we are encouraged to restore the brethren. Restore meaning to men, to repair, to be there one for another, to put yourself in that brother's shoe and say, I could be in the same situation. I could be in the same mess. The Bible encourages to restore the brethren. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, Jesus instructed Peter and taught Peter on forgiveness of the brethren. And when he taught him a forgiveness of the brethren, he taught him unlimited forgiveness of the brethren. He had Peter come to him in Matthew chapter 18 and he said, Lord, if my brother trespass against me, shall I forgive him seven times? And the Lord said, 70 times seven. He wasn't meaning a limited number of times of 490. He was teaching unlimited forgiveness of the brethren. You say, why should I do that for the brethren? Because God does that for you and I. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that God does not limit that he does for me. Many times there's been things I've come back and I've asked forgiveness for a second time. I've come back and I've said, oh Lord, that I've asked forgiveness for, I fell back into the same thing. I've made the same mistake. Oh God, forgive me. And I never hear coming from heaven. That's one too many times. I never hear that.
there's unlimited forgiveness. I'm not talking about abuse of God's grace, for the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he that is dead to sin should not live any longer therein. But we are not in sinless perfection. We're going to make mistakes. Paul said, this man that I live in, that I would do, I do not, and that I would not do, that I do. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? We're going to make mistakes. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 4 to love the brethren. The Bible tells us in that verse, in 1 John 4:20, it says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, it talks to us of the hate of the world. This morning I was preaching out of Matthew chapter 24, and in Matthew chapter 24 you see a shape that the tribulation will be, that we'll be delivered from, but I believe it's also a shape that you see the world headed toward before that, and it says, because iniquity shall abound in Matthew 24, the love of many shall wax cold. And we are in a day such as that, aren't we? But in 1 John 3:14, it says, we know that we have passed, we know what the world's like, but we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I know there is no way that I can measure God's love for me. The pen writer said, if every stalk on the earth were a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. But you know that you and I can measure our love for God. I'll take you to John chapter 21. Peter was asked the question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And when Jesus asked Peter of his love for him, he directed Peter to his love for others. Because it takes you to the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? Love God. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. But wait a minute, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, it says, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you just want to see how much you're loving God, look at it as how much am I loving my brethren, and how much I am loving my brethren is a reflection of how much I'm loving God. So I like how Paul addresses this to the brethren. The longer I am a Christian, the more I want to pray for my brethren, because the more I know how that the devil fights us and he comes against us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says that he is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But do you know what the very next verse says in 1 Peter chapter 5? It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren. Oh, how we need to pray one for another, because once we are saved by the marvelous grace of God, the devil is doing all he can to take our joy, to take that testimony, to get us to quit from singing in the choir. I'm not saying no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. I'm not saying that. Not saying that. We are saved. We are sealed by the Spirit of the Lord. No man can pluck us out of the hand of God, but the devil tries all that he can to take the joy away from the journey, doesn't he? So how we need to be there for the brethren. So number one, I see him emphasizing this message to the brethren. He said this to the brethren. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Apprehended meaning to seize, to possess, to comprehend. I kind of thought of this song. There's a song that I can remember as a young age that we used to sing. Oh, I'm not perfect, just forgiven. Not yet arrived, but I'm on my way. Since Jesus found me and forgave me, can't say I'm perfect, but thank God I can say I'm saved. And I believe that's what Paul the Apostle said. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended. But he said, I've nailed one thing down. But this one thing I do, and that's what I want to look at tonight. He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now let me say this. I believe what Paul here was saying was, there's some things I've gotten past. Let me say this. It is not humanly possible for us to forget things. I remember the man I was before Jesus saved me. But the wonderful thing about God is when he forgave me of all that, the Bible tells me in Psalms 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Not only did he forgive me, but he forgot that man that I was. That's not humanly possible, but God can do that because he's just God. He can do what he wants to do. But I remember that man that I once was. Can you imagine how the devil tried to bring up the man that Saul, used to be Saul of Tarsus, once was? Four missionary journeys. And I'm sure there was not one time that Paul didn't go help somebody or talk to somebody or was in that jail cell or was preaching to someone. I'm sure there was not a time that the devil was not in his ear saying, "Don't you remember the man that you once was?" But Paul said here in this scripture, "I've gotten past some things." Why? Because God saved me on a road to Damascus one day. And a great light shone down out of heaven. And I heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" In the scripture, Paul even goes back and he remembers the man that he once was. But he's telling us in this scripture, "I've gotten past those things. They don't bother me anymore." It's as if he's saying, Preacher Darren, there's no use for the devil to even bring that subject up anymore because it's under the blood. Thank God for the power of the blood. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, he said, "I'm the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church of God." In Galatians 1:13, he said, "Beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." In Acts chapter 22, verse 20, he said, "And when the blood of the martyr, when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him." But wait a minute, he tells us here he's gotten past that. You know why? Because in Galatians 1:15, he says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." He said, "I've gotten past that. I know what Jesus did for me." It's as the old song, "Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live there anymore." I want to say also in the Christian walk of Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. Would you turn there quickly with me? 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 through 30 tells us about some of the things that Paul went through in his Christian walk. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 down through verse number 30. It says this, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." This is why he's been saved now. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, and in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." I did not know until the brother spoke just a minute ago about the message that Preacher Darren preached this morning of the thorn in the flesh. But in the very next chapter, you see that. And you find a man that comes to a place that gets past the pain. And he gets past that that's been in the Christian walk, that he's had to suffer, that he's had to go through. It did not hinder his walk. It did not get him to a place where he said, "I'm not going to try anymore." But he pressed on through four missionary journeys. He even said to the people of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, he said, "None of these things move me. I've gotten past this. I know that the Lord has a plan. And I want to finish right. I want to finish for the glory of God. I want to do all that God wants me to do, that He may get glory and honor. Paul said, it's not about me. It's not about me sin. Look what I've had to face. Look what I've had to go through. He's saying, thank God for Jesus and what He went through and what He faced, that such a man as I could be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Paul said, I've got past some things. Can I say this in the message that I give you tonight? If we can't get past the past, then we'll never press forward in the realm of diligence that we ought to for the glory of God. That's why a lot of people has come to a place in their Christian life that they're not going forward like they want to be going forward for the glory of God, because they can't get past some things. There's some weights and things that does so easily beset them. But the Bible said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Can I say this? Because Paul was able to get past some things. Look who he was a blessing to. Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Titus. You think about the Philippian jailer that would have been in hell while I'm preaching had it not been for that man that got past the pain and anticipated the glory. He had been beaten with many stripes, he and Silas, but while they sat there in the prison cell, immediately after it's taken place, Brother Adam, he'd already got past it. When he sat down in that prison cell, he didn't say, Silas, let me look at your stripes. They never mentioned the stripes. They never mentioned the beating. You know why? Because they were pressing forward in anticipation for the great God of heaven of what He was going to do. Because Paul knew that when he was in that place called Troas, before he even went to Philippi, he knew when he saw that vision of Macedonia that God was going to do something big. So he got past that and he said, Silas, let's just sing a song. Let's just pray and thank the God of heaven. And because of that, there's a Philippian jailer tonight that's not in hell, but he's rejoicing in the paradise of God. People were saved because he got past some things. Used by God, divine revelations were given to him. 11 mysteries were revealed in the New Testament, and 8 of them was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he was able to get past some things and be usable by God. I thought about this in Acts chapter 28 when he was on the island of Malta and that viper came out of that fire and bit him after the storm he had already been through. I can hear myself saying, oh Lord, it can't get any worse. I can hear myself saying, when it rains, it pours. But Paul didn't do that. When they thought he would swell up and die, when they thought he was a god, he shook it off and pointed them to the God of heaven. And those barbarous people heard the gospel because there was a man willing to get by some things to be used by God. You might say here tonight, preacher, I'd like to be used this way and this way and this way, but I don't know what's hindering me. I don't know what's holding me back, but it might be some things or some things tonight you need to get past. You need to get past. You need to lay aside and say, Lord, that's in the past, and that's where I'm going to leave it. And oh, how I talk to myself. Past failures, past mistakes, past neglect, past talking out of turn. Oh, the Bible says, my little children, I would that you sin not, but if you do sin, have an advocate with the Father. Have you took it up with the Lord? Yes, preacher. Have you asked Him to forgive you? Yes, preacher. Then put it behind you and press forward for the glory of God. Can I say this? When he says he's forgotten, then he's able to tell us of the success of pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that we live in a time of slothfulness, not diligence. I thought about last few Sundays, Preacher Darren's been talking about the wise man building his house upon the rock, the foolish man building his house upon the sand. And the Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10, verse 18, it says, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. Can I say this? Because of forgetting, Paul was able to press effectively. He was able to operate in a realm of diligence on a daily basis. You think about how God used him. Writing 2/3 of the New Testament, you think about all the people that heard the gospel because of this man by the name of Paul. But I thought of some other people in the scripture that operated in the realm of diligence and how we see the victory in their lives. I thought about Rahab, Richard Aaron. Do you remember Rahab in the book of Joshua chapter number 2? Do you remember the spies coming? Do you remember how that she told the spies? She was just a harlot. What a picture of God's amazing grace. You say, preacher, that's an undeserving person. Show me somebody deserving. Show me somebody deserving. Oh, what a picture of grace. Rahab took these men in and she said, I want to go with the people of Israel. We've heard about you. Our hearts didn't melt when we heard about how that he parted the Red Sea. And they went away and they said, you bind this scarlet cord in the window. And she said, oh, not only do I want to be saved, but she said, I want Mama to be saved. She said, I like to see Daddy be saved too, if that's all right. She said, I like to see brethren and sister be saved. And do you know what they told her? They said, whoever's in this house, when we get back. Let me say this, they didn't give her a timeline. You'll never see in the scripture where they said, Rahab will be back in 7 days. They never done it. Rahab will be back this afternoon. They never done that. They didn't give her a timeline. They gave her a promise. And that was enough for her. I'm not given a timeline. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but thank God I cling to a promise tonight. And I'm like what old Paul said on the book of Titus chapter 2. I'm looking for the blessed hope. That's absolute certainty. I'm not guessing he's coming. I'm not thinking he's coming. I'm not wishing he's coming. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. She wasn't given a timeline. She's given a promise. But when those men left, there's no doubt in my mind, Chris, that she began to operate in diligence. I can see her that very afternoon. Going to the house of Dad. Going to the house of Mom. Going to the house of brother and sister and saying, come down to my house. Come down to my house. Why, Rahab? Because I've been given a promise. Oh, I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. I can see her point to her mom and daddy. We don't deserve it. But they've told us we can be saved. We can escape this awful place. And she operated in diligence. The Bible said when they got there and they shouted and the walls fell, Joshua said, you go get Rahab. And all that's in her house. And I believe by her operating in that realm of diligence, she was able to see so many others come to that salvation that she experienced. Oh, thank God for that, don't you? Thank God for that, that realm of diligence, operating in diligence. Paul operating 4 missionary journeys. Jesus giving us the Great Commission in Matthew chapter number 28. Some of his parting words before he leaves here. Matthew chapter number 28, here's what he says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What about that woman with that issue of blood? Operating in diligence. There were some things she had to get past. In Mark chapter 5, verses 27 through 29, number one, she had to get past her failures, her past failures. She spent all in all the wrong places. She had to get past that. Number two, she had to get past the letdown of others. Those physicians, they didn't help matters. They just made matters worse. But here's what she come to the realization of. I've been in this state long enough. 12 years is long enough. Don't you think that's enough to forget those things which are behind? Don't you think that's enough to get past some things tonight? This has bothered me long enough. This has taken my joy and my testimony long enough. I'll take my testimony back tonight in Jesus' name, and I'll lay this aside, and I'll press forward in diligence, and I'll reach out and touch the hem of his garment, and the same thing that he did for her, he'll do it for me tonight. I'm talking about operating in diligence. That's what we need this day and time. That that we're doing for God, we need to do it right now because Jesus is coming soon. So we see diligence. Press, I press, he said. I press. I can't speak for another, but I know what I've made my mind up to do. I can't do for another, but I know what I'm going to do for my life. This is what I need. And then this is where I want to close. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's he talking about, that mark? Now, to me, this is what that is. I believe that mark is pressing toward allowing God to be what he wants to be in my life. I want to say that again. I believe that the mark he's talking about here is pressing toward God to allow God to be whatever he desires to be in my life. Can I say it like this? I want to be small so God can be big in me. I want, as John the Baptist said, I want to decrease. I don't want it to be about Alan. I want it to be about God. I want him to be big in me. We know from the mustard seed, it is the smallest of all the herbs. But when it grows to be great, so that even the fowls of the air can come and lodge it in its branches. Oh God, help me to get small in my eyes, that God, you may be big in my life for the glory of God. I want to be all what God wants me to be. I want to lay some things aside. I want to get past some things. If you've asked God to forgive you, then forgive yourself and press forward and say, oh God, it's all about you. This day, it's all about you. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord today. I'm going to be glad in the Lord today. I'm going to do as the psalmist said. He said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what I want to be, for the glory of God, and allow God to be all that he wants me to be.